Harry, I have no idea where this will lead us, but I have a definite feeling it will be a place both wonderful and strange.
Peaks, y'all.
Hey guys, you're listening to the podcast where two librarian geeks talk about an episode of Twin Peaks once every 2 weeks.
Or once every 4 weeks.
Yeah, what do you think happened last time?
Add it to the list of many mysteries. Basically, we recorded a whole episode of Same Peaks, y'all, and then it vanished. Mysteriously.
I was going to say without a trace, but there was a trace. There's about a 6 second trace of it.
So, we like re-recorded over it with, yeah. I don't know, just...
That's episode 6, right?
It was, which, so now this will be episode 6.
This will be episode 6. Yeah, so, it's like that doesn't even exist.
Yeah, so we're re-recording. This happens every once in a while.
Yeah.
You know, we're not perfect.
The log lady came in here. She started smashing stuff up with her log. She told me if I close my eyes, I'll burst into flames. But luckily, what's so good news is that 2 weeks has passed since we recorded.
And
so
you've totally forgotten.
I don't even remember what we talked about. I rewatched the episode last night.
Great.
I did. I'm prepared.
All right.
Before we jump into it, though,
yeah,
we should mention we were at a local comic convention yesterday, right?
We were. At the time of recording this, it was yesterday.
Yeah, indeed. You've got it. Yeah, yeah.
That's all you wanted to say.
Yeah, let's go on.
You are flying high off of Lexicon, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
And now you're falling asleep. We're going to talk about episode 6 of season 1 of Twin Peaks today, also known as Cooper's Dreams.
You've got it.
Real quick update, since our last episode, because in our last episode we talked a little bit about Little Elvis.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. In the previous episode, I think he said he had to go wash Little Elvis.
Ben Horn says he has to wash Little Elvis, and he actually has a Little Elvis doll. And you and I were hypothesizing about this. My theory is that it was just like a quirky Twin Peaks thing that's totally insignificant. And your theory had to do with him taking a shower, post-coital shower.
I figured that's what it was. I didn't know how the doll... I actually thought, because I was thinking about it for a while, that it had to do like a weird 90s thing. Like, was it Wendy's? Like, where's the beef? And then I was like, did everyone just walk around saying, like, how was your day today? Oh, it was good. Well, anyway, I gotta go watch the Elvis. Like, is that like a 90s thing that missed out on?
It's not. I think kind of both of us were right. Basically, they had written that line in that was supposed to refer to Ben Horn's genitalia.
Little Elvis.
Little Elvis. I'm going to go watch Little Elvis. But they couldn't get that past the network, so they actually just inserted an actual Little Elvis into the show so that when he said Little Elvis, he could be referring to the doll, and then they could get it past the network. So that was just one of those, like, weird Twin Peaks things.
So I guess back then you couldn't even refer to genitalia. It was like it didn't exist.
I guess. How times have changed.
I know. Now, if you don't have genitalia in a show, it's not edgy enough.
That's right.
Game of Thrones. Can you imagine if every scene where there's a nude person, they had to have, like, a doll or something they are referencing?
We have one more update. In the last episode, we talked about the word Canuck.
Oh, that's right.
As a reference to a person from Canada, and we were concerned that that might be a derogatory term.
It still kind of sounds like it.
Yeah. I spoke to 2 real life Canadians, and the first was my friend Rob, and Rob said that he wasn't sure that Canuck was derogatory because the sports team in his town is called the Canucks, and they do not face the same sort of backlash that, say, our local sports team, the Redskins, sure. faces. So he thinks it's probably fine. And then I spoke to my cousin-in-law, Michelle, and she is also from Canada, and she said, absolutely not. Canuck is totally fine thing to say. It would be like referring to an American as a Yankee.
So, two Canadians. They say we're good.
They say we're good.
It still sounds rough, though, right?
So we don't need to go back and bleep the episode.
Yeah, we have to go just delete that episode out and do that, but we don't have to do that. It's okay.
Yeah, we're good.
Okay.
So, we open this episode. This is our recap segment, by the way. I'm going to recap the episode, and Eric is going to throw in some commentary as he sees fit.
So much commentary. I'm like swimming in buckets of commentary.
We open with a rousing Icelandic drinking song.
Yeah, which I still think sounds good. I like it. Didn't we? Yeah, I think it sounds nice. And actually, I would probably fall asleep to that song.
Cooper does not like it.
He's
Cooper
not happy with it.
Can't sleep. He asks Diane to send him some earplugs. He's freaking out. He says, once a traveler leaves his home, he loses almost 100% of his ability to control his environment. And then, of course, the next morning, Coop is tired. He sort of overslept. He only has time for coffee. He doesn't have time for breakfast. But he does run into Audrey.
Yeah, she's there.
Audrey's
How many breakfasts has she bumped into Cooper with now? Is this like second?
At least two, yeah. This time Coop doesn't have time for breakfast, so he only has time for coffee, but he does ask Audrey how old she is.
Do you have a highlighter
during a brief exchange?
With you?
I do have
highlight Audrey.
You got something to say.
I do. Audrey and breakfast. Okay. If you have those words there, go ahead and highlight them for mysteries.
All right. Then we see Ben and Jerry. We find out a little bit more about this venture that they're trying to get investors for. It's called Ghostwood Estates.
Mm-hmm.
Jerry is holding an entire leg of lamb for some reason.
It's like wrapped and like he's talking about rubbing it in like mint and something else, and it's gonna be grilling heaven. So.
Jerry loves food.
Yeah.
And I can appreciate that. And Ben is going to throw a gala for the Icelandic investors that they have. And he says, all of Twin Peaks' best and brightest will be there. And Jerry says, are you holding it in a phone booth?
I was thinking, what's so funny, too, because I was thinking the same thing. I was like, who's the best and brightest? Do they have a college anywhere in the town? Like, is there a local community college?
Gosh, I don't know. There's a high school.
Yeah, so basically, if you want further education, you got to just leave
Twin
Peaks.
Gotta leave, yeah.
And then maybe come back
yeah.
and become the one doctor.
speaking of people arriving, Leland arrives on the scene. He's still looking very disheveled.
This poor guy. He's like, hey, is there anything I can do to help you guys out? And they're like, no, we're good. Thanks, Leland. Oh, okay.
Flash over to Jacques Renault's apartment. They've found the bloody shirt, but they've determined that the blood on the shirt was not Laura's.
Whoa.
What?
Didn't see that coming.
And they also see an issue of Flesh World magazine, which was the same magazine that Laura had in her safety deposit box. And we find out that Jacques Renault is connected to all this because he's been receiving mail for Ronette. Ronette had an ad in Flesh World. Ronette was the other girl who was missing along with Laura. And you could write to her P.O. box, because that's what you did back in the 90s when you wanted to hook up with a girl. You wrote her a letter. And so
amazing.
Jacques Renault was fielding those messages for Ronette.
So they were like, it wasn't just like erotic images. It was like for sexy time.
Yeah. Yeah, they were.
See, I'd never even heard of that before. I didn't know. Also, they found a magazine up in like the chandelier or the light fixture or
like
something.
He was sort of hiding
it. Yeah, sneaky.
Bobby and Shelly, we head over there. Shelly's cooking breakfast. Bobby does this weird monologue where he's holding a gun.
She's like all into it too. It's she's so into it. By the way, I'm watching the show with Amanda last night, and for new listeners, that's my wife, and she's not a big fan of Twin Peaks. And I love how many times she scoffs when the show's going on. There's another time later where there's more scoffs.
There was a big
like,
scoff during
it, like, she's sitting there and he's like doing this whole like, hey, Leo, why don't you make breakfast for us or I'll shoot your face off? And, so anyway, he was acting like a tough guy.
Yeah, then Andy stops by and Shelley tells him that, Leo and Jacques were arguing about Laura.
Yeah.
Which appears to be a story that Bobby has cooked up. Bobby is trying to frame Leo. And then Leo calls and asks if anyone has come looking for him. And Shelley lies. She does not tell him about Annie. She just tells him to come home while she's holding the gun.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Like, there's messages there. I did like that when Andy comes to the door, Bobby, like, jumps up. Or, like, when he hears someone coming because he's like, oh, and I felt like that was him going, like...
Because he's not a tough guy.
Bobby's not the toughest of guys, in my opinion. Not as tough as Snake, anyway. Which, by the way, let's get to... Where's Snake? I really thought that after that...
We haven't
that,
seen him in a while.
We haven't. I think last time we saw him was at the funeral, you know? So...
We have a scene with Ed and Norma.
Yeah.
It's just a little funny aside. Ed mentions that Nadine is with the patent lawyer. So I guess Nadine's getting her silent jury partner's patented.
They're going to be getting that money. It's going to be nice.
Norma lets him know that Hank is coming back, and she asks him, have you talked to Nadine yet? Because they had this plan where they were going to divorce their spouses and be together, and Hank admits that Nadine is not well, and so he hasn't spoken to her yet, and, Norma is kind of basically like, I love you, but don't call me for a while.
Yeah.
I think she's a little heartbroken about the situation.
I actually kind of like that scene because it was like them talking about, like, because they're both with other people.
Yeah.
And being together is probably not the most ethical of things.
Right.
But they're unhappy with the people that they're with, you know? I don't know. That's a tough one.
It is a tough situation.
At least Hank isn't, like, murdered, like, a vagrant. So that's not great.
Under
mysterious circumstances. Nadine? Yeah. Yeah, Nadine seems like a really nice lady with ingenious ideas for a tale, right? But Big Ed says that she's got issues or something.
Yeah, you can, like, believe that, yeah, right?
Which I do, but which I understand why he feels compelled to stay with her.
Yeah.
Right? So it's a tough spot to be in.
We see Audrey's, quote, job interview, unquote, where she threatens her new boss, which we had a discussion about this last time we recorded, where I thought this was kind of BA, and you disagreed with me. Like, I thought it was cool that she's
okay, saying. let's just pretend, right? Pretend that instead of Audrey being a young woman, she was a young man, right?
Okay.
And then pretend that behind the desk was a woman that's like, I'm welcome. And then the guy comes in and he's like, you're going to give me this job or I'm going to tear my pants right off and scream and say you assaulted me.
But that's not what it is. It's purposefully, it's a woman exerting power and control over a man, which is what I think is kind of BA about it. I think that she's sort of, like, fighting the patriarchy in this. Like, using what she has at her disposal to shake things up.
That is really cool, but this guy has a job, right? And he has to feed his family. And he lets her do what she wants because he doesn't want to get fired. I don't know. I personally, don't get me wrong.
Her dad owns the department store.
Thank you. I have no problems with her exerting her authority or women fighting the patriarchy. I think that's amazing, especially in the 90s. But... let's think about why she's doing it.
She's coming from a place of privilege.
Yeah, of course. And I know we talked about this last time on the Lost Logcast, but I don't think she's doing it for, like, really altruistic reasons. Like, she's trying to solve Laura's murder, but it's so she can be with Coop, right?
Right.
You know? So, I don't know. That scene, and that guy, so here's the deal. This guy probably interviews people all the time, right?
Okay.
Maybe not the boss's daughter, but I felt like he did a great job being like, hey, we're going to set you up with rapping. Right? He's trying to make these things that aren't that exciting sound exciting. Like, rapping, and it's going to be great, and you're going to do this. And she was like, no. And then he was like, sales, that's a very, what did he say, sensitive. There's a lot, and he knew his stuff. Like, he was like, you're going to have to do this, and there's a lot of customer relationships to do with. And I don't know, I just felt like he was a great manager that was being taken advantage of. And now he's going to go home and go, like, am I going to have a job tomorrow?
Yeah.
I don't know if I have a job.
I'll be interested to see if your opinion changes.
Let me put it this way. Let's say I was in every... I know that you guys were Twin Peaks. Maybe my opinion won't change, but let's say I was at the library and I was interviewing someone, right? And then they said, I'm going to tear my dress off and scream. What am I going to do? Do I have to talk to our director and be like, guys, what if it was like Michael's daughter or something like that? That's a bad spot to be in.
That wouldn't happen.
And then I would get fired and you'd be like, you know what? Good thing she fought the patriarchy. And I'd be like, well, oh well. Good thing. I guess I'll just feed my daughter with old cans of beets. Wow. Anyway, what's the next scene?
James and Donna.
Yeah.
We learn a little bit more about James's background. We find out his dad is not dead. He's just a deadbeat.
Yeah, that guy.
And his mom is an alcoholic, so when she's absent from his life, it's not necessarily because she's out writing for the newspaper.
Traveling the world.
But Donna is cool with this.
Yeah.
James wants no lies and no secrets between them.
Yeah.
And they renew their commitment to finding out who killed Bora.
Most scoffs from Amanda during that scene. I think
she doesn't like James and Donna. They're like the cheesiest couple of the show.
I think it's just like his delivery. Like, by the way, he's a deadbeat. Also, while I'm talking about this, let me tell you about my mom. Any other plot beats I need to bring up? Okay, so let me wrap these up as well. And she's just like, oh my goodness.
It was kind of an exposition scene.
I still like James, though. I think James is a cool dude.
We go back to the crime scene, and there are so many donuts. Coop finds a photo of a cabin with red drapes, and he remembers there are red drapes in his dream that he had.
Mm-hmm.
And there was also red drapes in another ad in Flesh World. Not Ronette's ad, but another ad. And Jacques Renaud was receiving letters for that ad, too. And that ad has got to be Laura Palmer.
And, almost more importantly, there are red drapes in the dream.
Yes,
yeah.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
They know that Renault has a cabin in the woods, and they're going to go find it.
They don't have an address, though.
No.
Because it's just in the woods.
They're just going to walk through the woods for
a while. I was trying to... So how long has Harry S. Truman been a sheriff?
I don't know. A long time, right?
And so in his jurisdiction, he's like, so I've heard there's some houses in the woods. I've never checked it out before. But now I'm going to.
Well, they know generally where to go.
Here's the deal. I guess this is kind of like a really, what's the word, like wilderness kind of area, right?
Very much.
So if any of our listeners.
Very dark woods, by the way. Remember, there's like evil in the woods. So maybe you wouldn't just go trouncing around back there.
Does everyone know about the evil or just the Bookhouse
Boys? Well, at least
Boys?
Harry knows. So the Bookhouse Boys.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. But anyway, they're looking for his cabin.
Yep. James and Donna meet up with Maddie. And they need her help looking for maybe some sort of secret hiding place where Laura might have hidden something because Maddie is staying over at the Palmer house. And Maddie agrees to help them. Maddie does something very disturbing in this scene. And that is that James asks her if she would like anything to drink.
Yeah.
And she says that she would like a cherry Coke. And James orders her a cherry Coke, and she does not take
a single
sip.
She doesn't touch it. And this is 1990s dollars, so I don't know how expensive that Coke is. Now we're like 50 cents. Go ahead and highlight Maddie and that Coke.
You got it.
If you can go back and highlight those cabins, too.
Oh, the cabins,
I just thought
of
something. Just, I don't know if it's a mystery, but it's a something to ponder.
Okay.
A new segment. Something to ponder.
Hank overhears this whole conversation. By the way, Hank is acting like really nice.
He's and like, "Hey guys."
He says that he wants to earn his way back into the heart of his wife.
They come back. Norma and is it Shelley come back and their dues are totally done.
Yeah, like they got their girl. Makeover,
they got their girls' day out, which is really nice. They got the beautiful hair. Also, Hank in that scene has his domino.
He does.
But he does not suck on it.
Thank goodness.
Yeah.
I thought it was really
like
cool.
Like dipping it in his coffee and rubbing it around his gums.
Okay. It was like a really cool transition, I thought, there where they have Hank and he's like being kind of nice. And then it switches over to Invitation to Love, the soap opera that plays in the background of all Twin Peaks. And there's a character being really mean. And I feel like that's sort of kind of like an echo for the show that we can't really trust Hank. Yeah.
With an, he's got an eye patch on. The mean guy in the shows. Yeah. Wearing an eye patch.
The Briggs family is having a therapy session with Dr. Jacoby. Mm-hmm. Jacoby asks to speak to Bobby alone. And he asks about his and Laura's sex life. Mm-hmm. And he seems to know that Bobby cried the first time they made love. And Bobby admits that Laura wanted to die and that she didn't think people were good and that she had corrupted Bobby.
And he was, she made him sell the drugs.
Yeah, that's he was selling drugs because she wanted to take them.
Okay. Well, we're talking about grown-up stuff on the Twin Peaks. Is crying during sex a regular thing? What is regular when it comes to human behavior? I think
there's, like, a stereotype that, like, dudes shouldn't be affected so emotionally things. And so I think that's kind of what Jacoby was getting
I was confused because I didn't know if it was, like, he was with Laura and he was over, like, he was good
he
crying.
He was feeling very emotionally vulnerable.
When I heard that, because I'm not super familiar with that, but I didn't know if he was crying, like, because he was sad that he was with her. Like, I didn't know because there's so many layers to it. So it was probably he was with her, and then he was so emotional and cried, but then he was, like, embarrassed about it.
Yeah.
Dr. Jacoby's, like, up in his face, right?
Jacoby's,
like, in his face, like, you cried, didn't you, when you made love? All society's problems are sexual problems, or whatever.
We see our guys are hiking through the woods. Hawk is tracking.
He's tracking. He sees, like, a bent branch. He's like,
Someone was here.
Some was here. Animals. An animal couldn't bend this branch. So we gotta check this out.
They find a cabin. It's not the one from the photo. It's actually the log lady's cabin. Yeah. And she invites them in for tea and cookies. She seems to have been expecting their arrival for days. They're late, actually. And we learn a little
bit
more.
They're like 3 days late.
Yeah. We learn a little bit more about the log lady. We find out that her husband, quote, met the devil the day after their wedding. So he died the day after their wedding.
The devil hides in the fire. Right?
And she's been carrying a log around since then. And Hawk says something kind of profound. He says, the wood holds many spirits, which is interesting.
You think he meant, like, just wood as a material or just specifically the wood in her hands?
So, like, my theory on it.
Should you save it for mysteries?
Oh, we'll
or
save
should
it
we
for
do it now? I mean, I guess we're talking.
Well, we'll save it.
Save it.
For the mysteries. Coop finally gets to ask what the log saw. Because the log lady had teased that her log had seen something the night that Laura died.
Yeah.
But the log didn't really see things so much as hear things.
Let me tell what he saw.
He heard two men laughing and two girls and then later one man and screaming.
Yeah.
So that's apparently what happened that night.
You think the log, like, could see, like, out of the little, like, knot? In the log? Like, is that where its eye is? Like,
I don't know.
Looking around?
I think, like, the log just kind of experiences things, maybe, and, like, I don't know. We'll talk about the mystery.
If any of our listeners are logs, our email is samepeaksyaw@gmail.com. We would love to hear from your perspective.
Some other things that she says. She does mention owls during her time with them.
The owls
won't see us in here, she says. She seems worried that the owls might be, like, watching.
Go ahead and highlight that, too.
All right.
Owls. And birds.
Birds in
general.
Do you
have a word bird or write the word bird? Birds and owls.
You got it.
Thank you.
There's this amazing shot of Coop, Harry, Hawk, and Doc Hayward. I love it. They all, like, line up.
We were, since we were rewatching the episode, right?
Yeah.
And I was looking forward to that shot, and it's still so good. It's like so their good. Avengers shot.
Yes.
You know?
I love it. Anyways, they do find the cabin. There's music playing. There's a record on repeat, and it's that haunting Julie Cruise music. Julie Cruise, the infamous Roadhouse singer from the pilot episode, which is interesting because the little man had said in his dream that where he's from, there's always music in the air.
Always.
Yeah. And, other things in the cabin, there's a camera. Mm-hmm. There's a bird.
There's a bird.
There's twine.
It's the right type of bird, too.
Yes. Yeah. There's twine, which we knew Laura had been tied up mm-hmm. a couple times. And there's a poker chip, which is missing a J.
All of these things are terribly convenient. Circle it for me, please.
Oh, my goodness.
It's kind of nice to just walk into a building and be like, well, we were looking for our twine. We were looking for our blood. We were looking for a poker chip. Missing a J. We're missing for this.
There's the gala reception. And Pete and Catherine, I think, are actually, like, super cute at the gala reception. Catherine is a baller. Like, she's not getting enough attention from Ben, so she just goes over and spills champagne all over him, which is
Amanda
such a baller
didn't realize move. They were a married couple until they walked
Pete
in
and
the
Catherine. Unit.
Yeah, she had no clue. Like, she thought that they were, like, they lived in the same house or they were brothers and sister or something. And then when they came in, she goes, are they supposed to be married? I said, yeah, they are married. She's just really mean to him. That's all.
Audrey's in her hidey hole, and she sees Catherine confronting Ben, and they're talking about their plans for arson.
Yeah.
And then we see Pete drinking milk, which I just think is so cute that he would come to, like, a cocktail party and order a big old...
You know that, like, the bartender was upset because that milk's probably used for, like,
making, like, white Russians.
Yeah, and they're probably like, oh, man, I'm running out of milk. I only had enough for white Russians. Oh, you're killing me.
And then there's Leland is there.
Oh, no.
Okay, so Jerry's giving a speech.
We're all Norwegian.
Yeah.
You're Norwegian.
Icelandic.
I'm Icelandic.
Yeah.
What if he got, like, last week it was Norwegians. I'm sorry.
This week it's Icelandic.
Sorry, we're all Icelandic.
Jerry is giving a speech, and then all of a sudden swing music starts playing, which that's mysterious. And then Leland, we've noticed that he has a reaction to swing music, and he starts dancing and crying, as he usually does. But Ben and Catherine kind of cover for this. Ben asks Catherine to go dance with Leland. So that they can, like, cover his strange
which
behavior.
I thought was a smart move.
Yeah.
You know? At least someone's dancing with him.
And then Audrey sees all this and she starts crying, which I thought was interesting.
A big old tear down her cheek.
Yeah.
It kills me, too, because this guy's lost his daughter. And he's just saying, someone dance with me. And everyone's like, I don't want to dance with him. You know what I mean? I'm too embarrassed to dance with him, or...
I don't know. I mean,
no one will dance with him.
He's exhibiting very strange behavior. I think if I saw, I mean, I know that you probably think I'm a monster, but I think if I saw someone in the library acting this way.
But, don't, this isn't a stranger. Everyone knows. Okay,
let's I see. You've made this point before.
Let's pretend this. Let's pretend Freya just died. She's dead, and I come in and I go, someone dance with me. You tell me no one I know is going to dance with me?
We may not want to dance with you. We may want to, like, get you help with a professional, like, Dr. Jacoby or something.
Wait, Dr. Jacoby?
He seems to be the only psychiatrist
He's
in
the
town.
Only psychiatrist in town. I don't know. I just have issues with no one dancing with this poor man. Although, when Catherine finally does dance with him, it doesn't really help. Right?
Right.
Like, his head hurts even worse somehow.
Yeah.
She turns it into... She does the dancing... Like, pretending to be touching her head so that it's,
it's,
you know,
like, part of the dance.
Yeah, which I thought was really sweet.
Yeah. Maddie has amazing house slippers. We see her coming down the stairs in her amazing house slippers. She gives Donna a call because she has found a secret hidey hole that Laura must have kept, and there's a tape.
A cassette tape?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like a cassette tape.
I was trying to remember.
Yeah. And then, and then we see Ben and Josie, and Josie gives Ben the second ledger, and we get the idea that they're in cahoots.
Ben, if we know anything about Ben, what do we know, Tess?
It's that business and pleasure are the same thing.
They are the same thing. You've got it. That's exactly right.
We head over to Leo and Shelley's. Leo is assaulted by Hank outside of
his
home.
Like, out of nowhere.
Yeah,
boom,
that
boom.
Did come out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And then Shelley pulls a gun on Leo and shoots.
Yeah.
We don't really see what happens, but we do hear a door open, so
we hear
can,
him, like, screaming.
Yeah, we can assume that she did not shoot to kill Leo, unfortunately.
He comes in, and he's like, give me a beer, even though he is literally standing between her and the fridge. Give me a beer. And I was like, okay, knock it off, but I get it. He's all riled up. He just got beat up by his car, you know.
And then the cliffhanger of the episode, Coop comes into his room. He knows somebody's there, and he finds Audrey in the bed, nude.
We're pretty sure she's nude.
She looks nude, and she's very upset also. She looks upset. She says, please don't make me leave. And then end of episode.
Whoa. What is Coop gonna do?
That's the cliffhanger.
What's he gonna do? That was a cliffhanger. Yeah, that was a lot of stuff. I'll tell you right now, a lot of people talk about Twin Peaks, like, kind of moving slow at times. I thought this episode was clipping pretty fast.
It sure was.
Almost in an unbelievably conveniently fast manner, like, when they found just a building filled with all the evidence they were looking for, almost like a grocery list of items.
We are close to the season finale. We're only two episodes away.
That's right,
eight
is the season finale. That's right. Okay, cool.
Well, let's revisit the many mysteries in our segment. So many mysteries.
Okay. So many mysteries. There are so many mysteries. Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Now, see, I'm a little confused because
you got the highlighter marks from last time.
I got the highlighter from last time. Did you have a theory about earplugs? Because I highlighted that last time.
Earplugs? This is terrible. You highlighted the word ear. What's the sentence?
Cooper can't sleep, so he asked Diane to send him some earplugs.
I did. I remember that you should have used a second color for this
time. I should have.
But no, I did have a theory.
I need to bring multiple highlighters.
Remember, I still am not completely convinced that Diane's real.
Right.
And that
if he receives earplugs, will you believe it?
Thank you. That's what we're looking for. See, okay. I remember this now. If he receives earplugs and we see them, then I will believe it. But right now, I just find it too hard to believe he's, like, overnight shipping these tapes, and then she's getting things to him. I mean, I'm thinking it's, like, a 2 or 3 day, like, turnover. So how long is he? Has he been there for years? You know? Like, I mean, really, like, if you think about it.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, I had a similar theory when I was watching the show.
Don't they own telephones? Like, I don't understand. Why couldn't you just call Diane?
Oh, but there's a time difference between Washington and Philadelphia.
I feel like Coop's the kind of guy that...
He has to talk to her all throughout the day. Like, is he going to call her all day? Like, they don't have cell phones, so...
Yeah, it's a tough idea to wrap my head around.
And it was the middle of the night. Is he going to call Diane in the middle of the night just because he can't sleep? That'd be very uncourteous.
Maybe. I kind of feel like Coop would. Didn't he call Harry?
Coop's a nice guy.
He called Harry in the middle of the night.
Did call Harry?
And then Harry said, okay, I've already fully gotten dressed. I'm on my way over. He's like, no.
It can wait for us.
Here's the deal. Coop's got many positive qualities. I don't know if, like, courteousness is actually... I feel like...
You're right. Sometimes his enthusiasm and curiosity gets the better
of
him.
Which is fine. He's just on, like, everyone's got their own style. So... That's the mystery of the earplugs. I remember that.
Audrey and breakfast. You had a theory about Audrey and breakfast for some reason?
Yes.
Yes?
I did.
What's that?
That was from last time, so I have no clue.
No, that was this time.
Was it?
Yeah.
What was the scene?
Coop only has time for coffee, and Audrey kind of intercepts him.
Yeah. Just a mystery that I don't think has been resolved. Did we ever find out why she asked him,
do your palms itch?
Yeah. What was the mystery there?
I don't know.
I was just going to say, and also, she's met him a couple times for breakfast already.
Yes.
So, is it because it's before school? Is that what
maybe.
It's supposed to be?
Maybe. Yeah. Or maybe she's playing hooky. She is a dangerous girl.
She is, you know, fighting that patriarchy. What if it was a female principal? Is it still...
I find it so interesting talking about this show with you because Audrey's, like, one of my favorite characters.
Really?
And you just point out to me, like, how awful she is.
No. Hey, Audrey. No, I don't think Audrey's awful at all. I think she breaks the rules and manipulates people and puts other people's livelihoods in danger, but isn't an awful person per se. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Coop also in that scene, worth noting that he asked how old Audrey is, which I thought was curious.
It's so like...
And she's 18.
He's so like...
Just for the record.
Catch you later.
Yeah.
That's Hank's thing. But he does say something like, see you around.
Yeah. The cabin in the woods.
Yes. Okay, so I'm not familiar. In our area, we typically have like roads that go to places,
yes.
Right? Is it normal to have just cabins in the middle of the woods? Like
I mean,
some places?
Not in our place.
Yeah,
of,
but in some places.
Residence, but perhaps
so
in other places.
I've got a question if we have any listeners that live in an area like that. Like, for example, Log Lady, her cabin was in the woods, right?
Right.
Was there a driveway that led to her cabin in the woods?
It's a good question.
So here's my question. Logistics, how do you get things into your cabin if there's no road, right? Does that mean she's walking, like, from the grocery store through the woods into her home?
I don't know. That's an interesting point.
Yeah, this is just, I know people live.
I guess I feel like when I think of a cabin in the woods, I think of, like, a getaway, in which case you probably wouldn't need a lot of groceries and stuff. You probably take everything that you need for the weekend or whatever. Yeah, you do need to get there.
There still needs to be a car, which to me makes me think if there's a car and a driveway...
Maybe she just calls Uber every time she...
Uber didn't exist back then.
You're right.
And Uber might not exist by the time this comes out recording, if you've been following that at all. But, yeah, I don't know. I honestly don't know how that works. Like, maybe you just drive through the woods. Like, there's no roads, but you know... Like, it's not like a formal road, but it's just like a... I don't know. That's just... Anyway, that and then, like, I don't... It's just... No mysteries with these cabins. I don't know how they work. Yeah, I don't know how they work.
Maddie not drinking her cherry Coke.
Yeah, okay. Do you know where I'm going with this already?
I feel like it plays to your theory that Maddie might be an android.
Yes, she's a robot of some sort. Probably. And then she didn't drink this cherry cola.
Because she hasn't been programmed to ingest food.
Have we seen her eat or drink anything?
No, not yet. We've seen her order food.
Well, that's because she's programmed to do those things. So I think, yeah, my current theory right now is that Dr. Jacoby was working with Laura to put her brain waves in a machine that is Maddie, and that's why Dr. Jacoby's so involved with Laura, and that's why Maddie looks like Laura. Either that or Maddie is Laura, and Laura had a secret twin who died, and we think that's Laura, but that's actually her twin.
That's a whole lot of theories right there.
Well, we're in the right segment for it. Whole lot of theories.
Owls, you have a theory about birds and owls?
I just want to point out that she said the owls can't see us in here. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to pose the question, does she mean owls can't see us in here because we're inside, or they specifically can't see us inside that cabin?
Oh, there's something special about that. Does she have a metaphysical cabin?
Like some kind of safe spot. Also, rewatching that scene last night, I noticed as they were walking through the woods, there were a lot of like birds watching.
Yeah.
Not owls necessarily, but like ravens and like a weird vulture thing, and there was one that had like a big old eyeball. The birds are watching them for sure. That's for sure. Maybe they're friends with the owls. I don't know.
This is, I think, a highlight from last week about the wood holding spirits. Oh, that's right. We're going to talk about the log.
Yeah.
Now, my theory about the log at this point in the series when I was watching it for the first time was that her husband is trapped in the log.
I think that's the easy option.
Yeah, don't think it's necessarily
the... No. Sometimes the simplest solution is the correct one. I feel like there might be more spirits in that log than just her husband.
Wow.
Because Hawk says
the wood holds many spirits.
Yeah, so that's why I was like, is he talking about this specific piece of wood?
Or is he talking about all wood holds spirits?
How long has her cabin existed?
I don't know.
Because what if her cabin... All the logs.
Which is made of wood.
Each one of them has a different soul in it. What was the husband? He was a lumberjack?
I mean, they don't tell us that, but you could presume that.
Yeah, if he was a lumberjack, maybe he had some kind of knowledge of which trees had sentient spirits in it.
Perhaps.
And he built a whole house out of it.
Maybe.
And he made preparations to make sure that when he died, he would go into the log. Because not just anyone goes into a log when they die, right? I don't know.
I don't know.
Maybe that's the answer.
Maybe.
Whoa. What if when you die, you become a tree? No, take a moment and think about that. All
right.
And then like all these trees are like just like past like... humans and family members.
That's creeping me out now. Now I'm looking at your backyard.
But they're your friends, though. The trees are our friends. They give us life.
That's true. Wow.
You can't tell it's early. Okay. The trees give us life. Okay.
Last week, you have a theory about the cabin and how it has conveniently all of the things in it.
I don't know how that works. Is there underground tunnels? I have no clue.
How they get all of the things is what you meant.
You mean, sorry, I thought we were still talking about the logistics getting your groceries to a cabin in the woods.
I was talking about how specifically this cabin has a camera and a bird and a poker chip.
I am not convinced that this is like an authentic crime scene. I feel as if all the things that they've been looking for showed up in one cabin, which I'm sure probably happens sometimes, but in such a convenient fashion that I think it's all a staged scene for Coop and his boys, which last time you asked, wait, Eric, no one could stage this because only the police know what they're looking for, right? Which led me to say, I think there's a mole. And I'm actually thought a little bit about that. I think there's a mole in there that's staging in the, was it the Twin Peaks Sheriff Department?
Yeah, the Sheriff's Department.
That staged that whole cabin to throw them off the scent. And I think it's Harry S. Truman.
What?
I really do. I don't trust this guy one bit.
What? Harry?
Don't
you think Coop would see through that? Coop makes some amazing deductions throughout this entire episode.
Okay, there's two things going on.
Okay.
Either, and no judging on anyone's intelligence level or abilities to do their job. Harry S. Truman, in my opinion, is either A, I was going to call him an idiot, but that's not very nice. Bumbling.
He's bumbling.
Bumbling. Let's do that. Is that a little bit better?
Yeah.
Which one's more offensive? Like, if someone called you bumbling or an idiot, I guess bumbling would be a little bit. A bumbling.
Look, it's trying to think.
Albert. Such a good. He either doesn't. Let me put that. He either is not great at his job. Is either a bum. Not great at his job. Or he's like a Jack Sparrow idiot genius guy. Where he seems like he doesn't know what he's doing, but he clearly does.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, I have a hard time anytime the sheriff says, by the way, I'm imbued with the powers of the state to do this, and I'm going to illegally detain you, mm-hmm. right? And gag you, because I'm part of the, I'm rubbing under my eye, the bookhouse boys.
Yeah.
And then later, that man shows up dead.
FYI, Coop, now that you mention it, Coop is okay with that scenario, too.
It's so weird. He's like, these Icelandic people keep waking me up in the middle of the night. I'm so mad at them. And then all of a sudden he's like, but I'm okay with the whole sheriff department just abducting people in the middle of the night. I don't know. I got some moral qualms about how things are legally handled in the town of Twin Peaks.
Yeah, you would. It is a bit surprising that a representative of the U.S. government is okay.
Yeah, it's so weird. Unless Coop is so deep in it that he realized he has to pretend to be okay with it.
Yeah, there's
that too.
Because
he doesn't question it. Remember, he goes, oh, bookhouse boys, okay. And then he goes, oh, you got this guy gagged in your basement, okay. And he's like, oh, later he shows up dead. Okay, right? Mm-hmm. Do they find that body?
I don't know if they found
that body.
That's that body
that was, I think it was in the last episode, right? And it was in like, that was when, it was in the woods.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Leo and Ben were meeting. Yeah.
So long story short, I don't think the cabin is an authentic crime scene. I don't know if it's Harry S. Truman or not, but.
But you think it is.
Like I said, either he's an amazing genius or he's just terrible, terrible, terrible. He's like, I've been a sheriff here for how many years do you think he's been the sheriff?
I don't know.
I never knew this cabin was here. I'm not a law enforcement guy, but I feel like first rule is know, like, where things are, right? And I don't want to say you should know where every single house is, but I mean, if you're a small enough town, right?
Like, yeah.
You probably could know where every house is in this area.
I see what you mean.
Sorry, Harry, if you're listening. Is that actor still alive?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, Michael Ancine is still alive. He's no longer acting. He's retired from acting.
Good for him.
Yeah. He's not in The Return. Just an FYI.
The Return. Yeah. Oh, the Twin Peaks. How many? Oh, well, let's stay on
topic.
We'll
get back to that.
Yeah, yeah.
Maddie, the tape. Did you have any theories about what's on the tape?
I don't know what's on the tape. Okay. I just, every time we say tape, I think VHS tape.
But it's actually, it's an audio tape.
It's a cassette tape, so you listen.
And then did you have any theories about Josie and her,
I don't know if she's
trappings with
is
Ben.
Is she sleeping with Ben?
I don't know.
I don't know. I honestly don't know what's going on there.
She or he.
Yeah, that's right. Amanda still thinks Josie's a man. It's weird to me that the relationship between Josie and Harry, once again, going back to Harry, is a secret. Like, there's no reason for it to be a secret, right?
Uh-huh.
Why is it a secret?
Don't know. So many
mysteries. She's a man.
That's why.
And Twin Peaks isn't progressive enough to accept that.
And then Leo's probably still alive, you think?
He probably is. Leo's a really, I was going to say he's a fun character just because he's like, I'm so mad, get me a beer. but if he was dead, that wouldn't surprise me either. I don't know. If I had to choose, he's alive.
What do you think Coop's going to do with Audrey?
what do I think he's not going to do? I honestly don't know. I gotta tell you, that's the biggest mystery. Here's the deal. Audrey's 18.
Yeah.
They're both consenting ages, right?
Right. But.
So it feels a little creepy.
Yeah.
I mean, like, he's, like, talking to, like, Audrey's parents and stuff, like, in the investigation.
True.
So, and it's, like, a secret. She's clearly there, like, you know, snuck out of the house, right? Like, that's different.
Well, it is her house. The Great Northern is sort of her house.
Okay. If you're any hotel owners listening, please don't just creep into my hotel room in the middle of the night and say, like, well, this is my house, and sit on my bed. So, I don't know what he's going to do with her, so... would hope that he would tell her to put her clothes on and send her up to the top part of her home where she's supposed to live. And then I would talk, if this is me, and then talk to her parents and be like, hey, this is what she did. And don't be too hard on her. I get it. I'm a real handsome guy and all that. It's an infatuation and Laura just died. Psychological stuff, right? Like, he probably knows this, but be like, don't worry. I have no intentions and all that. I'm totally professional. That's what I'm hoping he will do.
Hey, Eric.
Hey.
Do you have a quotable quotation?
You bet I do.
What is your quotable quotation?
Well, my quotable quotation involves, actually, it's just like part of, I guess, like a bigger quote, but I only like the first part of it. It is, they are entering the log lady's cabin, and she says, I've got tea, I've got cookies, but I've got no cake. And Cooper is like, excuse me, ma'am, I don't have time for it. And Hawk's like, whoa, what kind of cookies do you have? I think it's so great. So I guess later you come find out that they're probably there to talk to the log lady. But I like the idea of that he was like, whoa, we can stop this investigation. Like,
Hawk and the log lady have a connection. I think, like, Hawk purposely led them the log lady. It's the cookies.
He's just a big fan of cookies. Those cookies. And actually, we were watching that episode. I was rewatching it again. She does mention fish again. So I was watching it. Remember how we have the three line about the fish in the percolator?
Yes.
There's a scene. Cooper is reaching for some cookies. And she slaps his hand. And she goes, you must wait. She goes, you must wait for the tea. She goes, the fish aren't running. And I go, okay. So, something about the fish.
She does say a lot of weird stuff, though. It might not be related.
Or it's all related. What's your quote, Miss Tess?
My quotable quotation is, Jerry Horn, throughout the whole episode, is talking about this Icelandic woman that he's fallen in love with, one of the investors, and he talks about her throughout the whole episode, and then at the gala, we actually see Jerry sort of wooing this lady that he loves, and he says to her, Heba, I want to cook for you. I don't know why, but I just really love that line.
You think he's probably a really good cook?
He loves food. Like, I feel like maybe he could be a good cook. He was talking about what he was going to do that leg of lamb.
You can love food and not be a good cook, though.
That's
right?
True. I love food and I'm a terrible cook. I don't want to pass
judgment. I still don't know how great brie and butter sandwiches are. Right?
We should try them one day.
We should. It's just, it feels like just so like it would be so rich, right? Like, just like, you might as well just have like butter and butter. Say, I mean, I don't know. We should try that one day.
Yeah,
I'm
we
sure
should.
It's delicious.
Hey, Eric, did you have an MVP of this episode?
I did. I was just thinking, like, what if I was like, nope?
And then I was like, episode over.
You just hear me, like, stomp out the door. Like, no, I don't have an MVP.
Who is your most valuable player in this episode?
Who's your most valuable
player? I picked the log lady.
Yeah. We did see a lot of her. This is the most we've seen of her so far.
Yeah. And I dug that. And she says all sorts of, like, cool, mysterious stuff. And... she's just an extremely intriguing character to me, And so I'm going to go with the Log Lady.
Log Lady.
I feel like she sort of, like, exemplifies Twin Peaks for me.
Well, she's kind of, like, the most, like, the most obviously bizarre character,
yeah.
I would say. Like, you look at her and, like, that's kind of weird, like, her holding this log. And then the rest of the cast, like, they become their own, like, their I don't want to use the word bizarre again, but, like, the ways that they are unusual become more apparent as
right.
the Log Lady's walking around holding a log, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to say my favorite character this week is Catherine. What's the last name?
Catherine Martell.
I almost called her Catherine Durant again. You guys is a big character from the House of Cards show on Netflix. But no, yeah, I liked her a lot. I liked, even though she was told by Ben to go dance with Leland, I liked that someone finally danced with this man and that she tried to incorporate him grabbing his head in agony into a dance move, so it didn't feel that weird. And I thought she had a couple good moments, too, where it was pretty baller when she poured her wine or champagne on his Ben's shoe. And then that I actually liked the scene, too, where they're talking about, like, wanting to torch the mill or whatever, but she, like, slaps him, like, 3 times.
She
slaps him 3 times because she finds the poker chip, and she's, like, upset that he's sleeping around.
Yeah.
He is married, right? Yeah, there's a wife. We don't see her too often.
Yeah, there is a wife.
Was the last time we saw him was when he was eating dinner.
When they were having dinner, yeah.
And then she was so mad because of the brother, right? yeah, I don't know. I like that scene. I have to say, too, though, I liked Ben, like, just taking those slaps. Like, he wasn't like, whoa, ow, why'd you slap me? He was like, psh.
Yep.
You got anything else?
That.
And then, like, immediately you turn those slaps into sexy time. So, I don't know, Ben. Can I switch to Ben? I might. You know what? I think my MVP this episode is Ben because I thought that was such like a that's like
Whoa.
Me more like he was getting slapped. But maybe she was slapping him because like she was like roughing up before the sexy time.
Last minute MVP switch.
I'll switch to Ben.
Yeah.
I thought he had some good moments.
It was
so.
Since you have too. I'm just gonna give my runner up. My runner up is Coop because I thought he did a really good job this episode.
Yeah.
I feel like Coop is so consistently excellent. It is hard for me to not choose him every single week. Man, all those deductions he made, and also all those donuts that he ate. Like,
yeah, that is true. Well, since you have two, I'm gonna add a third one.
No, I'm done.
We just keep going through. We're done the whole cast. That's okay. We're done.
Hey, Eric, how many fish in a percolator do you give this episode?
You'd never guess there was a fish in the percolator.
I would give this episode a solid 4. I thought it was
oh,
pretty
really?
Good. Yeah, I did. What did I give last time?
Last week you gave it a 3.
Did I really? Did you write it down?
Why don't you give it, we'll call it a 3.5.
3.5, yeah. I guess if I gave it a 3 on the original Lost Log cast, and then I gave it a 4, I suppose it would make sense to give it a 3.5. But yeah, maybe the second time I enjoyed it more. I thought there was a lot of progression made in the mystery, even if I still do believe that cabin is a setup. I think that's a nice step forward. I really think that scene with, is it Norma and Big Ed?
Yeah, I
such a sweet scene. Like, there's something kind of, and she said something like, you know, that's the problem. Neither one of us want to hurt anyone. But
right.
in that situation, someone's got to get hurt, right?
They do that, they have that, like, really sweet, like, where he's like, oh, I don't know if you should be here. And she's like, well, I got to get gas somewhere.
Yeah,
and they kind of put their arms in each other's arms.
Do you and Brett ever walk arm in arm like that?
Sometimes.
Yeah, Amanda and I have. It's difficult. I find that, this is a real, real side note, but I find that difficult because it's like, if you can't rush and walk arm in arm, right? Because then you look absurd.
You have to mosey.
You have to like really like saunter, like you put your arms together and like, it's not like you put your, because here's the thing, you put your arms together and you're trying to get somewhere fast. You look like a bunch of like linebackers, right? Like, trick. But you gotta like put your arms together and just like saunter to where you're going next. It's difficult.
Yeah.
You know? And especially in this fast paced world. So, guys, take a moment. If you have a loved one, put your arm through theirs and just saunter somewhere.
Yeah.
It's okay.
I give the episode.
Sorry, that was a little side note.
I give the episode 4 fish
4?
In a percolator. Yeah.
Cool.
So I thought it was a good episode.
Did you do 4 last time?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, did you? Okay, yeah. I was trying to remember.
I was
okay.
consistent with
yeah. You were consistent. I guess I must have just liked it better the second time. Oh, it might have just been though. That sweet profile shot of all four dudes oh, lined man. Up. That's such a... I wish more shows did that. Yeah. It's so good. It makes no sense.
But it's still so great. Good.
I'm still... I gotta tell you, I know... I gotta tell you, Tess, that I've been giving you a hard time about saying I don't know if I like the show or not. I do like it. I do look forward to watching it. I wasn't...
Well, I don't believe you, but...
I really do. So
Eric and I might end this podcast after season one. We'll see.
When is that?
The next, end of season one. We got two more episodes.
And then we might end it?
And then we might...
We're not going to end it. We're going to keep going.
We'll see what happens. Maybe we'll watch another show together.
I swore on the heart of a dove. If we don't finish, what's that dove going to do?
I don't know, man.
Going to peck my eyes out. No, I am enjoying it. I'm giving you a hard time by pretending I don't enjoy it. I did not particularly look forward to rewatching that episode last night, like in the middle of the night.
Yeah. That's what happens. Every once in a while, you lose a podcast.
Sometimes it you happens. Lose one.
We're not perfect.
Sometimes you lose one to the darkness in the woods. So, where can people find us at, Miss Tess?
You can find us www.sameteamyall.com. You can follow us on Twitter at sameteamyall. Sameteamyall, by the way, is our mother podcast.
Yeah, the mothercast. Yes. Everything we do.
Or if you want to email us here at Same Peaks Y'all, you can email samepeaksyall@gmail.com. Send us your theories,
Tell us if you're watching it with us, along with us, yes. Or if you're rewatching it like Tess is. And also, if anyone saw us at LexiCon, which is the convention we were at just yesterday at the time of this recording, tell us that you saw us there.
Yeah, and welcome to the cast.
Welcome to the cast, guys. Next fortnight, we'll be watching episode 7.
Of season 1.
Of season 1.
Twin Peaks.
Yep, you've got it. Guys.
So catch us then.
We appreciate you spending your time listening to us. If you enjoyed it, please rate and review us. We prefer 5 stars, but rate with your heart at all times.
Bye.
You know what this coffee is?
Hot.
Hot. Some hot coffee.